Korax Soulforge. Victory is Vengeance. By Gav Thorpe. Narrated by Gareth Armstrong. Chapter 1. He had not felt this way for a long time. Not in the decades since he had fought alongside the Primarch to rid his home of its technocratic enslavers, had Agapito been possessed of such vigor. It burned through him, giving him strength beyond his transhuman physique. Every swing of his power sword energized by the purity of his cause. Righteousness. It was a hatred that boiled inside the Raven Guard commander, sending him without hesitation into the slaves of the accursed word-bearers. Following Korax on the Emperor's great crusade had given Agapito purpose and determination. But the near rage that propelled him into battle now was of an order far above duty and dedication. It was fate that had delivered the hated foe into the hands of the Raven Guard. A chance encounter on the edge of the Cassock system. The word-bearers caught with warp engine trouble and unable to flee. Agapito would not let the opportunity pass lightly. This was providence, though from what higher power Agapito did not know nor care. The slayers of his brothers would in turn be slain. The betrayal of Istvan would be avenged, one traitor at a time if necessary. The memories of thousands of Raven Guard, culled like vermin by the guns of the word-bearers, were like daggers in the commander's chest, their piercing a goad to drive him onwards. He spied a traitor legionary amongst the crew that had spilled forth along the corridors to defend their strike cruiser against the boarding of the Raven Guard. The sight of the word-bearer brought back a flood of recollection. Cannons and lasfire scything across the Urgal Depression, leaving scores of dead sons of deliverance with each salvo. The Voxnet, swamped by the cries of the dying and the shock of treachery. Warriors he had fought alongside for many years, ripped from the world of the living by cold-blooded murderers. The half-human servitors and misshapen henchmen of the traitor legionary were no obstacle, easily thrown aside by Agapito's charge. In the confines of the strike cruiser, the Raven Guard could not be matched. Agapito wreaked bloody ruin with sword and fist, slashing and punching his way into the press of mutated foes without a moment's regard for the blades and mauls clattering from his armor. Towering over the mass of freakish slaves, Agapito could see the word-bearer as the traitor exhorted his minions to hurl themselves against the Raven Guard warriors. Dozens of slaves fell, their bodies rent with gruesome wounds, as Agapito and his legionaries thrust along the passage. Breaking free from the throng, the commander paused, eyes fixed on his target as the red-armored legionary waited a few meters away. The word-bearer raised his chainsword to the grill of his helm, a mocking salute and a challenge to mortal combat. Agapito was not here to duel, to exchange strike and parry in an effort to determine the worthy. He was here to avenge, to punish, to kill. A blast from his plasma pistol seared through the armored breast of the word-bearer as he lowered his blade, turning ceramite and flesh to greasy slag. The word-bearer toppled face-first to the deck as Agapito dashed onwards, carving into the subhuman creatures that served the Legion of Lorgar. A few more seconds, a flurry of blows and shots, and Agapito was left standing over a mound of dead foes. A squad of his talons, also survivors of Istvan, gathered around their leader.
"Quadrant clear, Commander," reported Sergeant Ashel.
The legionary's armor was coated with blood, the black paint glistening with fresh gore. He looked down at the remains of the enemy. The corpses were of men and women, twisted and mutated, with eyes and skin like snakes, and sharp teeth filling wide mouths.
"Vile filth!"
"Not so vile as those that lead them," snarled Agapito. He listened to the Voxnet for a few seconds, picking out the interleaved reports and messages from other forces spreading out through the enemy strike cruiser. Squads Chovani and Kalane were encountering stiffer resistance than the others. More word-bearers.
"We head to starboard," the commander told his companions. "Follow me."
"The reactor chamber is aft, Commander,"
Ashel replied, staying where he was as Agapito took a step.
"The Primarch's orders are..."
"The enemy are to starboard,"
Agapito snapped.
"As are the escape shuttles. Do you wish them to elude their punishment? Have you forgotten Istvan so quickly?"
Ashel glanced back at his squad for a moment and shook his head.
"For Istvan,"
the sergeant said, lifting his bolter.
For Istvan,
Agapito replied. Disgust welled up inside Korax as he pulled the blades of his lightning claw from the body of the crewman. The liquid that sprayed across the corridor was not human blood, but a foul greenish fluid fed through the slave from a brass cylinder riveted to his back. Many others, similarly altered, lay dead around him. At first, Korax had thought the creatures mindless servitors, but the fear and desperation in their eyes had betrayed a spark of life not seen in the half-human creations of the Mechanicum. They were men and women with fully human faculties, modified and experimented upon by their word-bearer's masters. The Primarch's disgust was not for the pitiful figures that flung themselves into his path, but for the traitors that had created them. The followers of Lorgar had become wicked, inhuman things, a twisted parody of the honorable legionaries they had once been. In the red light of the passageway, his lightning claws gleamed. Crafted by his own hand on deliverance after the victory at the Perfect Fortress, the weapons made him feel complete again. The Raven's Talons, his warriors called them, as much a symbol to the Legion of their determination to fight on despite their losses as they were weapons. Korax had forgone his flight pack in the close confines of the boarding action, but he felt as comfortable in the arched halls and winding corridors as he did in the open skies. He had been taught to fight in a place like this, a maze of ferrocrete and metal where every corner hid a potential foe. In the prison where he had been raised, endless passageways had become his hunting ground. He had never forgotten the lessons. He did not head directly for the Strategium, but chose a less obvious path that would circumvent the strongest defences. The strike cruiser was like so many others in layout, with a central corridor running for most of the length of the ship, but Korax instead made his way along the gun decks, already ravaged by the broadsides of the Avenger as the battle barge had closed for the boarding. In places, the hull had been cracked wide, leaving the batteries open to the freezing void. The Primarch, with a memorized schematic of the Avenger's last pre-attack scan in mind, found routes around the breached sections, moving up and down through the decks to keep the defenders uncertain of the Raven Guard's route. With him came a company from the Avenger, but for the moment the legionaries were little more than onlookers as the Primarch carved his way towards the starship Strategium. It seemed the Word-bearers had thought it wiser to unleash their horde of mutated creations rather than face the ire of the Primarch themselves. They were not wrong. Advancing swiftly, Korax encountered several dozen more slaves in the next gallery, armed with nothing more than wrenches, hammers, and lengths of chain. Some had cybernetics grafted to them, others carried the artificial Ichor tanks he had already seen. All of them had pale skin, slicked with the sweat of exertion and dread, their eyes red-rimmed and bloodshot. They did not shout any war cries as they ran at the Primarch, and there was resignation, perhaps even relief, in their eyes, as his lightning claws slashed left and right, hewing them down by the handful. None of the crew creatures survived long enough to strike Korax as he waded into their midst, his energy-sheathed fists turning metal to splinters and flesh to spatters. Glancing through the windows of the gallery, he saw the Avenger holding course alongside the boarded ship, and beyond that, the gleam of plasma engines from the Triumph and Erigenosis, while further away still, waited the rest of the Raven Guard flotilla. Had they arrived 2 or 3 days later, the Word-bearers might have continued on their way to wreak whatever malevolence they intended. Good fortune for the Raven Guard had brought the enemy out of the warp just a few thousand kilometers from where the Legion had been mustering. Even before the bombardment by the Raven Guard, the traitor ship had shown signs of prolonged combat, damaged warp engines amongst its more obvious battle scars. Whatever had forced the strike cruiser to travel in such a state had to be important. So it was that Korax sought to capture the vessel and learn its secrets, rather than destroy it out of hand. Resistance grew stronger as the Raven Guard neared their objective. Securing the chambers and halls surrounding the Strategium, the Primarch and his warriors created a cordon clear of enemies. The rooms were strangely devoid of decoration. On the few occasions that Korax had spent time on Word-bearers' ships before the War Master had turned, he had marvelled at the carvings and banners, icons and murals dedicated to the celebration of the Emperor and his deeds. What must have once been the officers' quarters were now empty shells, devoid of furnishing and embellishment, as though everything that once had lauded the Emperor had been expunged. The Strategium portals, two sets of huge double doors sealed by immense lock bolts, proved to be only a minor obstacle. Korax's lightning claws cut through one of the doors with a few blows, sending the reinforced plasteel tumbling into the darkened command chamber. Korax was taken aback for a moment by the quiet. He had expected a hail of fire to greet his entry, and his charge into the mezzanine overlooking the main floor of the bridge faltered as he met no resistance. Glancing around the chamber, the Primarch was confronted by clusters of interred servitors meshed with glowing consoles, their half-dead faces and withered limbs nearly white in the glow of the static that filled the main screen. Lights winked on and off in the gloom, the red and amber of failing systems, while exposed wiring buzzed and flickered. The chamber was filled with a faint smell of decay coming from the servitors, a flesh slowly going rank, mixed with oil and rust.
"Where are the word-bearers?" asked Commander Sukunu.
As he had stormed into the Strategium behind Korax, he too had come to a halt, confused by the absence of foes.
"Not here,"
was the only answer Korax could give. His gaze was drawn to a shape, swaddled in bloodied robes, pierced by many pipes and cables, at the heart of the Strategium. The figure's corpse-like thinness showed her human skeleton despite the profusion of implanted machinery. All that could be seen of her face was a slack mouth, showing a few broken, yellowed teeth, the rest of her head encased in a many-faceted helm of ceramite into which passed dozens of coiled filaments. Korax descended the steps to the main hall, his footsteps resounding across the quiet murmuring of the servitors and the buzz of poorly shielded circuits. To Korax's amazement, the woman stirred. She raised her head as though looking at him, a small black gem fixed to the brow of the enclosing helm.
"Release me,"
she whispered. Blood-flecked saliva drooled from between cracked lips, a dark tongue lolling across raw gums.
"I can serve no more."
"We are not your captors,"
Korax told the woman as he stopped beside her. Now closer, he saw the glint of silver thread in the tatters of her clothes. The patterns were broken, but taken together, the remnants revealed the woman to be a navigator.
"I am Korax of the Raven Guard."
"Korax,"
she breathed the name, and her lips twisted into a hideous smile.
"Grant me my death. You are the Lord of Deliverance, and I need delivering from this torment."
The Primarch moved one of his energy-sheathed claws towards the navigator, but he hesitated before granting her wish. It tore at his conscience, but a harder part of him, the part that had sent atomic charges into the cities of Kievar to kill thousands of innocents and allowed him to pacify worlds resisting compliance, stayed his hand.
"Soon, I promise you. But first, I have need of answers," he told her.
The navigator slumped, causing the pipes and wires to rattle fiercely like the twitching of a grotesque puppet's strings. Before Korax could begin his questioning, he diverted his attention to the Voxnet, distracted by an exchange between Bran and Agapito on the command channel.
"We can't break through here," Bran was saying. "You were supposed to flank the forces deafening the reactor, brother."
I will be with you shortly,"
Agapito replied, breathing heavily.
"One of the bastards fled, the coward. We'll have him cornered soon."
From long acquaintance, Korax could sense Bran holding his temper in check with some effort.
"Reactor readings are reaching critical," the commander eventually responded. "The reactor will reach meltdown if we do not seize control of it. We can deal with the word bearers once the ship is secure."
"Agapito, what is causing your delay?"
the Primarch demanded, irritated by the commander's tardiness in completing his mission. Agapito's voice trailed away. When he spoke again a moment later, there was contrition in his voice.
"Apologies, Lord Korax. We will make all haste to the reactor chamber."
"As you should have already, Commander. We will speak of this later."
"Yes, Lord Korax. Forgive my distraction."
"If we are still alive in 10 minutes, I will consider it,"
Korax replied. He knelt down next to the imprisoned navigator and spoke gently.
"I'm sorry, but I must attend to another matter first. Be strong."
He stood up and turned to Sukunu.
"See what you can do to slow the reactor overload from here,"
the Primarch said, pointing to the engineering station where a roomy-eyed servitor murmured a monologue of status reports.
I want this ship taken intact.
Warning lights glared red along the corridor surrounding the plasma core chamber. The accompanying sirens had been cut off abruptly from the strategium, but the ruddy gloom was a reminder to Commander Bran that the ship was far from secured.
Caval, Nello, Hawk!
Bran called out to three nearby sergeants.
Flank right, one deck up!
Their squads peeled away to a stairwell as Bran led the rest of the company forwards. The waves of grotesque ship slaves had ceased for the moment, no doubt pulled back to form a last defense around the overloading reactor. Bran did not know whether that was a final act of spite from the word-bearers, or to prevent the Raven Guard discovering the crew's purpose in the sector. He did know that Lord Korax had issued no warning of an evacuation, and within the next 120 seconds it would be too late for the boarding parties to escape the doomed ship. Bran's raptors were fighting well, and he felt a moment of pride as he watched them sweeping along the engineering deck, efficient and deadly. They had been fully blooded at the Perfect Fortress and in later engagements against the forces of the Death Guard at Monetton, and in the seizing of several traitor Imperial Army warships that had been intercepted during an attack on Tholingeist. With each battle, they gained valuable experience. Now they had been transformed from instinctively superior fighters to disciplined, effective warriors. Even those that had been twisted by the later gene seed mutations had surpassed their bodily difficulties, fighting as equals among their clean-limbed brothers. Bran had become so familiar with his charges that he barely noticed the deformities that marred them. They were all simply his raptors, though he knew that there were others in the Legion who did not wholly trust them. The feeling of pride passed, to be replaced by an ever-present sense of profound responsibility. The raptors, both the perfectly formed and those that had suffered the body-altering mutations, were a new generation of Raven Guard. The future of the Legion, Lord Korax had called them. The Primarch certainly had no qualms about utilizing the raptors' abilities, enhanced by their improved Mark VI armor systems. As Korax had promised, the raptors were treated as any other fighting force from Deliverance, given ample opportunity to prove themselves worthy as legionaries. A huge detonation ahead shattered Bran's contemplation. For a split second, he thought the plasma wards had been breached, his raptor squad silhouetted against the sheet of white fire erupting along walls and floor, creating a stark vignette. The instant passed as the fire washed over Bran for several seconds. Temperature warning alerts rang in his ear, but his suit systems were more than a match for the flames, dumping coolant from the armor's power plant into the secondary systems. Paint blistered and bubbled, and thick sweat ran from Bran's pores, but no lasting damage was done. The conflagration passed in moments, leaving the commander to assess the damage.
"What was that?"
he demanded, striding forwards. Ahead of him, the raptors closer to the blast had not fared so well. The broken remains of a handful of his warriors lay at the top of the stairwell where the explosion had originated. The surviving raptors picked themselves up and regained their senses.
"Improvised charge, Commander," reported Sergeant Chavin. "A shell from a close defense turret, I think."
"Self-terminating strike," added Streckle, one of Chavin's warriors. "It was being carried by one of the slaves, insane bastard."
"What have they got to lose?"
replied Bran as he reached the stairs. The steps had been turned to dripping slag a dozen meters below him, the walls spattered with droplets of molten plasteel.
"Stay vigilant. There will be more of them. I want them taken out before they can self-detonate."
Affirmatives rang across the Voxnet as Bran looked up the shaft. The flight of stairs to the upper deck had been incinerated, stranding the commander and his companions below the entryway to the main plasma conduit chambers. He glanced at the chronometer. 80 seconds left. Still, there had been no word from Lord Korax. The raptors fanned out through the corridors, Auspex scanners sweeping for a stair or conveyor. There was no effort wasted on mourning the fallen. Everyone knew that they would share the same fate if they could not stop the reactor overload. There was a calm, measured fatalism about the raptors that Bran found reassuring. Perhaps it was something about the nature of their founding, or maybe his own outlook that had shaped their demeanor. Whatever the cause, he considered the members of his company to be amongst the most sober of the 19th Legion. Youthful exuberance had quickly given way to deep gravitas in the light of galactic civil war, and the very likely possibility that the Raptors might be the last generation of Raven Guard to become legionaries. Bran knew that his company would always be a step aside from the rest of the Raven Guard, despite the Primarch's words and the platitudes of the other senior officers. They were different, not just physically, but in temperament also. It was nothing new. There had always been subtle divisions amongst the warriors of the Legion. There were the Terrans, who had fought alongside the Emperor himself, their legacy traced back to the start of the Great Crusade. Yet despite their proud heritage, the Terrans had never shared the same intimate bond with Lord Korax enjoyed by those who had fought for the salvation of deliverance. The ex-prisoners, Bran amongst the many thousands who had taken part in the uprising, had taken Korax as one of their own, first as protectors, and then as followers. The Terrans treated Korax with awe and respect as their gene father, but their entire history with him was as the Emperor's warrior servants, never as equals. Now the Raptors were added to the mix. They all shared two common experiences. They had been inducted into the Legion after the treachery of Horus had been revealed, and they had not suffered through the massacre at the drop site and subsequent running battles. It was this that set them apart from both Deliverance-born and Terran. They were not warriors of the Great Crusade. They had a darker but no less vital purpose. The Raptors were trained not for the pacification of non-compliant worlds, nor the eradication of alien foes, but for the simple task of destroying other space marines. The Istvan survivors were still haunted by their experience, either by anger or guilt, bearing a burden of loss that Bran could never share. Perhaps this was why Korax had chosen Bran to lead the newest recruits. Sensing he would share an affinity with this untainted generation that he could never wholly regain with the massacre survivors, it would be typical of Korax's wisdom and his keen insight into the minds of his warriors.
"Enemy contacts, several hundred," reported Sergeant Claverin from one of the lead squads. "More than a dozen word-bearers leading the defense, Commander." "Acknowledged. Eliminate all resistance. Access to the plasma chamber is highest priority."
Agapito hacked down another foe, the gleaming blade of his power sword slicing through flesh that was mottled a pale blue, the crewman's strangely canine face splitting from brow to chin. The commander turned his next blow against a slave mutant with bulging eyes and a forked tongue, driving the blade into the hideous creature's chest.
100 meters more,"
he barked, swinging his sword to urge on the Raven Guard around him. There had only been a handful of word-bearers between Agapito and the reactor chamber, but that did not make progress any easier. Perhaps wishing to end their miserable lives, the deformed crew had flooded into the aft sections of the ship, using themselves as a barrier to prevent the Raven Guard accessing the reactor chamber. It was no spiteful scheme of the slaves to take the boarding parties with them, but a calculated sacrifice by the word-bearers. The critical state of a plasma reactor could only be possible if they had started to push it into overdrive the moment that they had been discovered. Across the Voxnet, Agapito heard the reports of other squads advancing to link up with Bran and his raptors, attempting to force a coherent line through the mass of defenders so that a concerted effort could be made on the conduit chambers and engine rooms. There had been no thought of retreat, and no intimation that they should abandon the ship. Intelligence was key to the war being waged by the Raven Guard. Knowledge of where the enemy were weakest and where they were strong was essential to the strategy of Korax. The ship was too valuable to lose, and Agapito fought like a berserker from the 12th Legion to atone for his earlier distraction. Eventually, the Raven Guard ploughed through the press of defenders, the corridor thick with dismembered bodies behind them as they reached the passageway leading to the main reactor vault. Agapito detailed two squads to stand rearguard and led the rest, some 70 warriors, directly for the reactor control room. An emergency blast door barred their path at the end of the corridor, but three well-placed melter bombs from the Talons blew a hole through it, large enough for the armored legionaries to pass into the heart of the engine decks. Sergeant Chavani was the first through, just ahead of Agapito.
"Hold fire!"
the sergeant barked, lifting his bolter out of the firing position. Ahead of them was a raptor squad. Not fine-limbed warriors in their battle plate, but the twisted unfortunates that had survived the later gene seed implantations by the Primarch. Some were wrapped in robes, too bulky even to wear power armor. Others could still wear their suits, albeit with extensive modification. Agapito could not help but compare the late-generation raptors with the slave mutants he had been slaying. Scaled skin, inhuman eyes, clawed hands, clumps of wiry hair and nodules of bone and cartilage disfigured the Raven Guard warriors. Their sergeant had a hunched look. He was still able to wear armor, but elongated ears and a ridge of bone across his brow could not be encompassed by a helm. All the skin that Agapito could see, whether furred or smooth, lizard-like or broken with warty growths, was almost white in color. They all had jet-black hair, and the comparison to the bleached flesh and black eyes of Lord Korax was unavoidable. For all their physical similarities with the ship's slaves, the raptors could not have been more different in poise and attitude. They were guarding a stairwell, attentive and alert, holding themselves up with as much bearing as their warped frames allowed. All of the physical abuses heaped upon them could not mask the pride and strength of their legionary training, but their appearance still unsettled Agapito, especially in comparison to the monstrosities created by the word-bearers. Thinking on that did not entirely make the existence of the deformed raptors easy to accept.
"Commander Agapito,"
the sergeant said, bowing his head in a deferential greeting. His lips were thin and revealed dark gums and tongue as he spoke, but his voice was calm and quiet with a youthful pitch.
"Commander Bran is securing the reactor chamber as we speak."
"You are?" asked Agapito.
"Sergeant Hef, Commander. Navar Hef."
"Link up with my talons, Navar," said Agapito, jabbing a thumb over his shoulder towards the remnants of the door. "I think the enemy are broken, but there may be enough of them left to try some kind of counterattack."
"Tech Marines are securing the plasma wards right now, Commander," said Hef. "Commander Bran said to pass word for you to meet him in the main chamber."
"I'm sure he did," thought Agapito, but out loud said, "Very well, Sergeant. Carry on." Agapito turned his attention to the trio of sergeants who had joined him, awaiting their orders. "Lock the whole area down and link up with any other raptors," he told them. "Nothing passes the line." The commander was already turning away, thoughts moving back to Bran, as the sergeants voiced affirmatives and returned to their squads. The route to the main reactor took Agapito up one deck, passing two more raptor squads guarding the stairwells, and along a short corridor. The area was well within the perimeter, and he sheathed his sword and holstered his pistol as he neared the reactor chamber. Bran met him at the doorway, stepping into the passage as Agapito strode towards the chamber, no doubt informed of his fellow commander's approach. Bran said nothing at first, but stepped past to address the squad of Raven Guard at the end of the corridor.
"This area is secure. Move down three decks," Bran ordered.
There were a few glances at the two commanders. It was clear that they were not being moved on for strategic reasons, but the legionaries departed without comment. The ring of their boots on the metal steps grew fainter.
"Brother, I am sure—"
Bran grabbed the lip of his brother's breastplate in a fist and thrust Agapito against the wall.
"Sorry is not good enough."
Though Agapito could see nothing of his brother's expression inside his helm, Bran's posture and voice conveyed his rage as purposefully as any snarl or frown.
"Our orders were simple. What happened to you?"
"I was killing word-bearers, brother,"
Agapito replied, trying to keep calm against Bran's rage.
"That's what we do now. We kill traitors."
Agapito moved to step out of Bran's grasp, but his brother shoved him back against the wall once more, cracking the rough plaster with the impact.
"One minute," rasped Bran. "One more minute and we would all be dead."
"Do you value your life so highly?"
asked Agapito, lashing out with his words, stung by the arrogance of Bran to appoint himself as judge.
"Perhaps you should have fought harder."
Bran raised a gauntleted fist, arm trembling, but he did not strike the blow.
"Korax is on this ship, brother. Did you not think of him while you were pursuing your personal revenge against the word-bearers?"
This time, Agapito did not make any attempt to control his anger. He smashed Bran's arm aside and pushed him away, almost sending him to the deck.
"Personal revenge? 70,000 of our brothers died on Istvan V. Do you think it is only me that desires to avenge them? And what of the other legions, the Salamanders and the Iron Hands? Ferus Manus was slain, probably Lord Vulcan too. Lord Korax? I watched those bastards Lorgar and Kurz try to kill him while you were on the other side of the galaxy, so do not tell me that I put the Primarch in danger."
Bran stepped away, shaking his head.
You disobeyed orders. A direct command from the Primarch. Is that what has become of you?
The anger in his voice had become sorrow.
You cannot change what happened on Istvan. Our dead brothers would not thank you for jeopardizing a mission for their memory.
What would you know?
Snapped Agapito. He tapped the side of his helmet with a finger.
You don't have the same memories as me. You were not there, brother.
A fate that you will never fail to mention when given the chance,
Bran said with a sigh. He pointed to the grey sigil that could barely be seen against the black of Agapito's left pauldron.
The campaign honour for Istvan that your talons wear is a mark of respect for the fallen, not a badge of shame. Many died there. You did not. Be thankful. You have nothing to atone for.
I am not trying to atone, said Agapito.
He could not find the words to express the mixture of feelings that swirled inside him when he thought about the Dropsite massacre. He gave up and turned away from his brother.
I do not blame you for your absence, brother, but you will never understand.
The ravaged face of the navigator turned towards Korax as he laid a gentle hand upon her shoulder.
Constanix, she whispered, that is the system you seek. Now, please, release me from this bondage.
Delving into his encyclopedic memory, Korax recalled that Constanix II was a forge world less than 50 light-years from their current position. Its allegiance in the Civil War that had engulfed the Imperium was unknown, but the fact that the Wordbearers had been there, or were heading there at all, did not bode well.
What purpose do the traitors have there?
He asked softly.
I do not know. Twice we have travelled to the system, since we escaped from Kalth and dared the Ruin Storm.
Ruin Storm?
Korax had not heard the term before.
The tumult of the warp,
wheezed the navigator.
It is an artifice of Lorgar's followers. They did this to me, infected me with... turned my mind into a vessel for one of their inhuman allies to guide.
Lord Korax, the ship is secured,
announced Sukunu. The commander had removed his helm, and a sheen of sweat across his dark skin glistened in the amber lights of the reactor displays. He ran a hand through short, curled black hair, his relief evident. His smile twisted the pale scars etched into his face, tribal tattoos that marked him out as a former praise singer of the Sahelian League on Terra.
Plasma containment stabilized. Commanders Bran and Agapito are coming to the Strategium to report.
Korax nodded but did not reply, his attention returning to the broken navigator.
This thing they placed inside you, is it still there?
It fled.
The navigator shuddered and gasped, the cables and pipes piercing her flesh, rattling and swaying as her whole body twitched at the thought. Still blinded by her mask, she nevertheless looked up at Korax, jaw clenched.
I know what you will ask of me.
It is not necessary, said Korax.
He moved his hand so that the tip of one of his claws was millimeters from her throat, just below the chin.
Our own navigators can take us to Constanix.
The powers entreated by the Wordbearers keep watch on the system. They will block you. They know the Camiel, this ship, and can take you through their wards.
She drew in a long, ragged breath.
I will endure for a while longer to see the works of my tormentors ended. The malice their abuse of me has brought forth is thwarted by your efforts. The Emperor would expect nothing less.
I will have my apothecaries tend to you as best they can.
The wounds of my body are the least severe injuries I have suffered. Your apothecaries can do nothing for the agonies heaped upon my soul. Only death will cleanse the taint.
The navigator straightened further, giving a glimpse of the poise and elegance she must have once possessed before the cruel attentions of the traitors had debased her.
I am Sagitha Alons Neotalin, and I will serve the Lord of the Raven Guard as my last act.
Korax withdrew his lightning claw and stood up. Stepping back, he bowed his head in acknowledgement of Sagitha's sacrifice.
By such spirit and courage as yours,
will Horus be defeated. You will be honored. The tramp of boots on the deck above caught Korax's attention, and he turned to see Bran and Agapito at the rail of the balcony. He gestured to Sukuna to accompany him as he made his way up the steps. The Raven Guard, who stood sentry by the Strategium's portal, needed no instruction to depart, silently moving away to leave their commanders free to talk.
The Word-Bearers have some link to the Forge World of Constanix too, Korax told the others. For the moment, we can only guess what fresh nightmares they concoct there.
A dilemma, said Sukuna. He looked at Bran and Agapito, whose silence betrayed fresh tension between them.
The fleet is ready to attack the traitors on Ueza, but it will not be a swift campaign. Whatever the Word-Bearer's plan for Constanix may come to fruition while we wage war on Fulgrim's disciples.
Commander Aloni and the Therions will be expecting us to reinforce their assault on Ueza. We cannot leave them unsupported, countered Bran. All manner of trouble could await us at this forge world, and substantially delay our arrival.
The obvious victory is on Ueza, said Korax. For if we can rid that world of the traitor's influence, the whole Vandragon Reach will likely remain loyal to the Emperor. But I do not like the Word-Bearer's machinations. Constanix is strategically insignificant, a minor forge world in the scheme of the Imperium. Had the world been more prominent, their purpose would be clearer. But the seizing of Constanix will do little to aid Horus's war effort. I do not like mysteries.
Any mission that sees more traitors dead is a worthwhile mission, said Agapito. Lord Korax, we do not need all of our forces at Ueza. Let me lead some of my talons to Constanix, and the Word-Bearer's plans will be halted for certain.
Our legion is small enough,
Bran argued, shaking his head.
Dividing our forces would now weaken us further.
So it's your plan to allow the Word-Bearer's free rein to wreak more destruction? Snapped Agapito.
He mastered his anger and turned to Korax, his tone almost pleading.
Lord, the traitors must be faced down at every turn, and the damage inflicted to the Emperor's cause by the Word-Bearers could be considerable if left unchecked. They spread hatred of terror as surely as they once proclaimed their loyalty. Constanix will not be the last world they try to corrupt if we allow them to escape.
I have no intention of ignoring the Word-Bearers, replied the Primarch. But the attack on Ueza!
Korax's raised hand silenced Bran's protest. Sukuna, what is your appraisal?
Forgive me, Lord Korax, but I am sure you've already made a decision, Sukuna said with a shrug. I do not think my counsel will sway you to another course.
You do not have an opinion. I believe it is still your intent that we should bring punishment to the rebels whenever they are encountered, Lord. We should attack the foe both at Ueza and at Constanix. Or, at the least, the Word-Bearer's activities should be investigated and assessed.
Although Agapito may have different motivation for wishing to pursue the Word-Bearers, I approve of his strategy, said the Primarch.
He turned away from his commanders and looked across the Strategium. They came up beside him, remaining silent for his orders.
The enemy at Ueza are well scouted and well known. Bran, Sukuna, you are more than capable of leading the campaign with Aloni. I have every confidence that you will earn another victory for the Legion.
You will not be coming with us?
Bran was taken aback by the pronouncement.
My presence will be more useful with Agapito at Constanix. We shall take 300 warriors only. Judging by the remnants of the Word-Bearers that were left on this ship, we should not expect a large contingent of them to be waiting for us.
And if Constanix has fallen to our enemies? Said Sukuna.
It may be a minor forge world, but they will still have many thousands of Mechanicum soldiers and war machines. If opposition proves insurmountable, we shall do what we always do. Attack, withdraw, and attack again, chorused the commanders after a moment's pause.
Just so, Korax told them with a smile.
He paused, retrieving what he knew of the forge world from the depths of his mind.
I shall take this vessel, recrewed from our own ships, to ensure our arrival goes unseen. Agapito, detail 200 legionaries to accompany us. Sukuna, I will need 100 more of your auxiliary vehicle crews, armed as assault troops. Constanix is dominated by acidic oceans, with few sizable land masses. There are 8 major atmospheric cities kept aloft by anti-grav technologies, so we will need to think aerially. I need warriors trained with flight and jump packs, plus a full complement of Thunderhawks, Shadowhawks, Stormbirds, Fire Raptor gunships.
and whatever smaller assault craft the fleet can spare and will fit into the launch bays. And a team from the armory. The Camiel's warp engines and other major systems need to be repaired quickly if our strike is to be timely. If we can defeat the Word-Bearers with this force, all will be well. If not, well, the Legion will have its next target. The commanders nodded and agreed. With a gesture, Korax dispatched them to their duties, but called out as they reached the main doors,
"And Agapito! It is at least 7 days' journey to Constanix. You and I will have plenty of time to discuss your actions today."
Battalion's commander seemed to sag inside his armor.
"Yes, Lord Korax,"
Agapito replied.